Finally, in SEAL training, there's a bell. A brass bell that hangs in the center of the compound for all the students to see. All you have to do to quit is ring the bell. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to wake up at 5 o'clock. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to be in the freezing cold swims. Ring the bell, and you no longer have to do the runs, the obstacle course, the PT, and you no longer have to endure the hardships of training. All you have to do is ring the bell to get out. If you want to change the world, don't ever, ever ring the bell.
Man, that is, if you have not seen this speech, this is by Admiral McRaven, Admiral McRaven at his alma mater, it's a couple years old, but it is a spectacular speech that he gives. And he's talking about SEAL training and the difficulties they go through with SEAL training and how they have this bell and they're saying, listen, anytime you want to quit, just ring the bell, you can leave. And it's sitting right there in the middle of the room. And so since he gave that speech, now if you Google it or you look for pictures, it's become sort of a mantra, don't ring the bell. You know, don't ring the bell. It means you're quitting. So we're going to be starting a new sermon series, and I was tempted to use that as the title, don't ring the bell, but I was thinking, if we did a sermon series and I said, don't ring the bell, every week I'd have to tell you the story about, you know, the SEAL story. So what don't ring the bell means is don't quit. And so it really got me inspired to take a look at some scripture stories. And so what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks is this concept of don't quit in the pit. Don't quit in the pit. Because I started looking up in the scriptures and saw all these stories in the Bible of people who were in the pit and didn't quit. It's just amazing when you start looking this stuff up. For instance, there's the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. And Jacob sort of showed Joseph favoritism. And so as a result, the other 11 sons got jealous. And in the story, it's found in the book of Genesis, Joseph is told by his father, go and check out, see what your brothers are up to. They see him coming. They're so jealous and angry. They catch him and throw him in a pit and sell him into slavery. And it starts this incredible journey. But at one of the weeks we'll be talking about that, we'll be talking about how Joseph never quit, even though he was in the pit, and how sometimes it gets tempting. I mean, have you guys ever felt there have been a time in your life where you've been in a pit, a little overwhelmed at work, feel like you want to quit whatever it is you're facing? I mean, this is just reality. Sometimes in life you're facing things and you just go, you know what, that's it, I'm done. But what you're going to see over the next several weeks, there's story after story after story of people who did not quit. The story of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, Old Testament prophet, had probably one of the most unglorious or undesirable ministries you would ever want. I mean, first of all, God told him, I called you to be a prophet, and by the way, no one will listen to you, so hey, you got a great future ahead of you. And as a matter of fact, they're not only not going to listen to you, they're going to hate you because you'll be speaking doomsday prophecies, and they'll get so mad you're going to be persecuted. And as it turns out, he's given these doomsday prophecies, they capture him, the leaders arrest him, and they throw him in a pit. And you find the story of Jeremiah. He didn't quit when he was in the pit. There's a story of Daniel, the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, a story many of us are familiar with, especially little children, they're familiar with the story. Daniel was told by the king, you cannot pray to your God anymore. It is illegal. And Daniel committed an act of what we would refer to today as civil disobedience. He broke the law and said, I will pray to my God. And he didn't only just break the law, but he did it publicly, opened the window so everybody could see. He prayed to his God. Well, as a result, he got arrested and he got thrown into a pit, a real special pit. You all remember that story? What was in the pit with him? Yeah, so Daniel was thrown in a pit and he didn't quit. Matter of fact, God sovereignly delivered him. And then there's the story of David. First of all, David had one of his generals found himself in a pit. And when he was in the pit, there was a lion in his pit. And it says, rather than jumping out right away, kill the lion first. Then he got out. He didn't quit. David wrote, like many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, at least 7 or 8 of the Psalms, David says, I'm in a pit. David wasn't in a pit like literally, but he was in a pit emotionally, and he was in difficult times, and he cried out to God, I'm in a pit. But David never quit. There's a story of the prophet Elijah. Elijah gets in this battle of the false prophets on the mountain, and he wins and calls upon God, and God sovereignly rains down fire, and Elijah has these false prophets destroyed, and he's at the peak, like the zenith of his career. This is like, wow. And then the queen, Jezebel, hears about it. She says, I'm going to kill you. And it says he ran for fear of his life and hid in a cave, which is sort of a pit. And he got so discouraged, he said, God, just kill me, man. I'm done. But God showed up. God helped him when he got out of the pit. There's the emotional pit. Many of us probably don't walk this out in our minds. But when Jesus was getting close to his time for crucifixion in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to the disciples that night at the Passover meal, he said to them, man, I am really struggling right now. He said, my soul is greatly troubled. And then from there, he goes into the garden, and he's tempted to tap out. I mean, he's about ready to tap out. He's saying to God, is there any other way? Is there another way? And then he settles it in his heart, not my will, but yours be done. So we're going to talk about different pits, and the fact is, every pit that people find themselves in is different. Sometimes, you know, they're different shapes and sizes. You know, David's pit was emotional. Daniel's pit was a real pit with lions. Joseph's pit wasn't caused by his bad behavior, it was caused by his brothers. Everybody has, you know, different situations we find ourselves in, times where you're really being stretched, really being tested. Sometimes the pit that we're in can be caused because we've made some bad decisions. It's just a fact. We go through life, make some bad choices, you go, man, how did I get in this mess? But sometimes the pits that we find ourselves in have nothing to do with my decision. It has to do with somebody else. Somebody else coming against me, somebody else influenced by the devil and persecuting. And so either way, there are times where I can find myself in a pit. And what we want to talk about over the next several weeks is this idea of persistence and stamina and determination, grit, where you just decide, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. You just get it settled in your heart. I will tell you this, parents, this is a critical character trait you need to instill in your children. You don't quit. People quit today so easily. They're faced with a challenge and a difficulty. So, oh, I'm out. I'm done. You know, maybe God's got something he wants to do in this situation. Maybe he's trying to bring some character trait out in your life. Maybe he's trying to change something. But if we would learn to persist and hang in and press in, we would find that God, you know, God's with us. God's not deserted us. And then just one last thing before we look at one of the passages this morning is we just need to clarify there is a difference between failure and quitting. Failure or failing or making mistakes is something we will all experience. There's no way we can go through life without that. Jesus said, as you go through life, you will face difficulties and trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer, I have overcome. But that's not the same as quitting. Quitting is final. Quitting means I'm not trying anymore. Quitting means I've given up. And the problem with quitting is if we allow that to creep into our lives, it just becomes habitual. And we need to cut that off and determine, I will not quit in the pit. I will press in. So today I just want to talk about one situation. Each week over the next several weeks, we'll talk about different ones. But I want to talk about today, how do you handle it if you find yourself in a pit, a bad situation, where you're overwhelmed and you realize it's probably caused by your own decisions? How do you handle that and how can you get out? So we're going to look at a passage in Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles this morning, Psalm 139 written by David. So this is a psalm where he's just glorifying God and how great God is. But in the psalm, there's a couple of pieces that just stand out to me here. And I want to read, first of all, a couple passages starting in verse 7. David says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Where can I flee from your presence, O God? If I go up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. I think some of the different translations don't use the word hell, but it's still that word. The Sheol is another word, the grave. What is being brought out here is that David, first of all, many of David's troubles, as you read about King David in the Old Testament, many of his troubles were caused by his own bad decisions. David made some bad decisions throughout his life. He didn't handle his children properly. As you read the story, he had one son, Absalom, and Absalom was so angry about his brother's behavior. His half-brother had raped one of the daughters, which was a sister of Absalom, and rather than deal with it properly, Absalom went and killed him out of anger. And David just didn't resolve this anger, and it grew and grew and grew, and it caused many of the troubles that he wrote about in the Psalm when he said, "I'm in a pit, many are my enemies." Sometimes I could read that and say, yeah, well, Dave, some of those enemies were caused by your bad behavior. His many wives caused him all kinds of problems. His adulterous affair caused him all kinds of problems. His inability to deal with sibling rivalry. A number of David's problems were caused because of what he says right here. He made his bed in hell. But what does he say about the fact that even if you make your bed in hell, what does he say about God? He's with you even when you make your bed in hell. And this is where the enemy of God brings in discouragement. Just because you're in a bad situation and you're there because you made a bad choice does not mean that God has deserted you. He will never leave you. Yes, I understand the first part. When I'm doing good and I'm my heart is toward God in heaven, God is with me. Yeah, we all know that. What about when you make a bad decision? Where's God then? Does he go, hey, I'm sorry, I can't go there with you. You're on your own. Or you made that decision, I'm not going to help you. He doesn't. David says, if I make my bed in hell, even there, you're with me. If you want to get out of the pit, the first thing you have to break through and grab hold of and believe is this: God will never leave you. He will never leave you. He's not like us. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah where Isaiah is talking about the relationship between a mother and her daughter and her baby and parents with their children. And he's saying, you know, you have this incredible love, but even your love will fail. Mom and dad, your love for your children, even though it's intense and incredible, he said, but listen, God's love will never fail. He'll never run out. And the first thing you have to come to grips with if you're going to get out of the pit is to realize, I may have caused this, or I know I caused this, but either way, God is with me and God is going to help get me out. That's the first thing. The second thing is, as you read through this, you find out that sometimes when we're in a pit, it is a little difficult to figure out, how in the world did I get in this mess? You ever been there? You know, you're looking like, what the heck happened? How did this thing blow up on me at work or in this relationship? I just didn't see it coming. Well, here's a little insight that David brings as he goes through the psalm. He gets to the very end. And he says at the end in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I think what David's talking about is there is the real possibility that we can be in the middle of a bad situation. That bad situation, that pit, could have been caused by our bad decisions, and we don't even see it. You don't even see it. It's called self-deception. It's blinding. And when we act improperly because of our emotional state, somewhere along the line, we have to convince ourselves it's really not that bad. Or you kind of lose your mind. So whatever it is we're doing that's wrong, we say, well, it's not really wrong. Or if it's wrong, it's really not that bad. And what happens is we are able to convince ourselves that we're not doing anything wrong. And I think David's trying to bring out a point here, and that is self-deception is dangerous. And the only way we're going to break out of self-deception is to invite God to help us out. When you're in a bad situation, it could very well be because we've made some bad decisions, but it could very well be that we just don't see it. We just plain don't see it. It's blinders. I heard this speech one time years ago. He called it everybody's if only. The if only. If someone would just tell you the if only, you would be the best secretary if only. You would be the best manager if only. You would be the best salesperson if only. But we don't see it unless somebody tells us. And I think what David's saying here is, if you're in a bad situation, invite God in on it. Invite God in on it. God, search my heart. Am I doing something wrong? If I'm doing something wrong, please, God, show me. Break through my own blinders. And God is faithful. God will speak to you directly by His Holy Spirit. He can speak to you through a dream. He can speak to you through reading Scripture. He can speak to you through a sermon. He can speak to you through a song. He can speak to you through fellowship. But the point is, David's saying, God, search me, show me. And if you pray that prayer, I believe God will show you. Because if we're in a pit in relationships, and the relationships are just not working out, if we don't ask God to get involved in this, and we don't ask Him to show us where we're making the mistake, it's going to repeat itself over and over and over. If we are living in constant financial difficulty, and we don't invite God, show me, I need help here, God, you're going to live a life of constant financial difficulty. Now, folks, let me tell you, that is not God's will. You're not supposed to live in the pit. Your relationships are not supposed to be disasters. It's not supposed to be one broken relationship after another broken relationship after another broken relationship. That's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live in community. If you're living paycheck to paycheck and you can't make your bills, you can't pay your bills, there's something wrong. Now, obviously, if you're living in a country where you're being persecuted because you're a Christian, well, then that pit is not something you did. That's somebody else causing this. And even in that, we have to find the grace and the help of God. But if we're living in America, and we are in these pits that just show up over, you know, I can't seem to get, you know, this job. My manager's a jerk, and so the best answer I can come up with, I'm going to quit and get another job. And isn't it interesting? The next manager happens to be like the other one. And then you quit that job and you get another one, and that manager and that man, you know, it's just this cycle over and over. It's living in the pit. And what we have to understand is if we would invite God's Holy Spirit in, He can break through. He can help. And what I believe happens is He shows us, Dave, this is what you're doing. And you need to stop doing it. If you want to get out of the pit, here's the answer. And then it's a matter of repentance. Okay, God, you are right. I'm wrong. I will stop blaming everybody else. I'll take personal responsibility. I will change. And when the word repentance means change, it means you're going this way. And then all of a sudden you realize, you know what, if I keep going that way, this cycle is going to repeat itself. So if I change and start going this way, really what's happening when you repent, you're repositioning yourself so that you're in line with God, that the will of God can be brought to pass in your life. Repentance is not a bad thing. The problem is it's difficult if we don't see it. And here's David saying, look, there are some times I make my bed in hell. I make some bad decisions. And you read the life story of King David and you realize, yep. And then you look in the mirror and go, yep, right? Sometimes we're just out of touch, man. We just are out of touch. And then we're in the pit, and then we're having difficulty dealing with it. But I believe if we would invite God's Holy Spirit, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you're in the pit, first of all, you don't quit. You don't quit. David had many pits he had to break through in his life. His were emotional pits or relational pits. But I believe that's part of the reason that God refers to David as a man after God's own heart. David isn't called a man after God's own heart because he was perfect, because he made all the right decisions. David was called a man after God's own heart because he knew where his help would come from. He knew that whether he was good or bad, God would be with him. And as a result, he pressed on and pressed on and pressed on. You know, there are times in your life where you're going to be in a pit and it's going to feel like, hey, I can't get out of this. You know, I can't, I've dug this too deep. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can get out of any pit. Kind of reminds me of the story of the jogger out jogging one night, and he decides he's going to cut through the cemetery. And as he cuts through the cemetery, he's not aware of the fact that they had just dug an open grave. And since it was late in the evening, they left the grave open. And lo and behold, he falls in the pit. Well, first he tries to climb his way out. He's clawing his way out. Can't get out. Tries to jump out. He can't jump out. Tries to wedge himself against the other side, climb his way out. He cannot get out. It's dark. Whatever. It's not that cold. I'll just crawl up over here in the corner. Tomorrow morning when the workers come, they'll get me out. So he crawls over in the corner. But just so happened, another jogger was jogging that night. And he decided to cut through the cemetery. And he did not know there was an open grave. And he fell in. And he tries to climb out, and he can't climb out. He tries to jump out, and he's starting to sweat, and he's standing there, and he goes, I'll never get out. And then the other jogger walks over and puts his hand on his shoulder, says, you can't get out. He got out. He got out, boy. He got out. He flew. The first man, he flew, you know. You know, it's amazing what you can do when you're motivated, you know. You can't get out, like, I'm out of here, man. Well, you know, sometimes it's the devil who's telling you can't get out. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you can get out. You can get out. And if you're struggling and trying to figure out, well, how did I get here? At least invite God's presence in on the situation. God, please show me. Search my heart. Is there something in here? And then be open to the fact that God's going to honor that prayer. But we have to open our hearts. He may speak through somebody else. Another Christian brother or sister, he may speak through a scripture, but when he does, grab hold of that. Okay, you're right. I'm going to repent. I'm going to start going this way. This pit, this cycle is going to break in my life because I'm taking personal responsibility and I'm not going to quit. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. God, I just thank you above all things that we know when we're good, you're with us, but God, we know when we're bad, you are with us. If we make our bed in hell, God, you chase after us. You're chasing after everybody here today, God. I know some of you are in difficult situations, facing challenges in relationships, facing challenges in finances, facing challenges in jobs, but I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, there's a way out. There is a way out. And God, I pray, just supernaturally, just begin to shine the light, God. If it's something that we are doing, God, help us to recognize, show us, shine your light on it, cause us to see it, to repent of it, to turn, that cycle could be broken. God, that we could reposition ourselves, that we would be in line with your will for our lives. Just seal it in our hearts, God, that we will never quit. We will not quit. Follow the men in Scripture, God, each one of those stories who persisted and broke through. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll take our offering. So stay open to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes His presence is just so sweet. It's cleansing. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come, Holy Spirit. It's like a breath of fresh air. Just come, Holy Spirit. More of your presence. sense the Holy Spirit washing some of you right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. Wash out that confusion right now. Wash out that despair. Replace it with hope. Replace it with light, inspiration, strength. Come, Holy Spirit, right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you facing some challenges at work. Some of you fighting some opposition. I just feel the Holy Spirit's re-energizing you right now in the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands up in the name of Jesus. You need some refilling right now. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Some of you fighting some addictions in the name of Jesus right now. Empower. Give the power to break the addiction in the name of Jesus. Speak freedom over you right now in the name of Jesus. Liberty. Freedom. Some of you fighting just depression, just thoughts that you can't seem to control in the name of Jesus right now. Cleanse that mind, God. Fill it with hope and scripture. Some of you struggling with just anger issues. In the name of Jesus, God, you can deliver right now in an instant. In the name of Jesus, sense the Holy Spirit just freeing some of you right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Regenerate hope. Hope. He's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. He's not left. He hasn't left. His hand is on you in the name of Jesus right now. Come, Holy Spirit, just come. We just welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. Just come. Refill us, God. Change us. We have our prayer team up front here as we get ready to close with our last song. We're just going to open up the front. If you need some prayer, our prayer teams will be off on the side. If you want to come up and pray, if you need some prayer, I just sense the Holy Spirit's just set some of us free here this morning, just regenerating, clarifying vision, direction. We just want to open up the altar here if you need prayer, if you need some prayer on the side. But we're going to close with this song. You're invited to come get some prayer.
here next.